Hello guys, welcome back to another episode of the Let's Talk Agriculture podcast. As you already know, we are starting a series actually. Okay, let's not really say starting a series because we already had one episode already on this particular topic. So we are continuing our series on this particular controversy where we're hearing that blockchain technology is leading to an increase in unemployment. And at this point, we're trying to get different insights from experts in the blockchain technology and in agriculture as well. And for this particular episode, we have the co-founder at Wolf, India's largest blockchain fintech native platform, and a UNDP Inspiro Fellow. Is a 3x entrepreneur and an author. At Wall is bringing blockchain to farmers to save their income, covering about 1,400 warehouses and over 5,000 farmers across 5 states, and $2 million in dispatch loans supported by United Nations Development Program. He is also a blockchain educator and has taught about 5,000 faculties, PhDs and students belonging to India and 6 cross countries since 2020. That's really an amazing profile. I'm sure you agree with me. But anyway, let's welcome Abhishek to the podcast. Thank you very much for joining the show today.
Thank you, Sharon. It's an amazing and it's such a pleasure to, you know, have today speak with you on this amazing topic. So let's get started. So excited.
Thank you very much. Okay, so I know you're going to definitely agree with me that blockchain technology, since we started hearing of it, it has been about increasing efficiency, transparency, and trust among users. But just like I've mentioned about our topic today, there is this controversy where people are thinking that blockchain technology is actually leading to an increase in unemployment. We don't really know for sure. I mean, when you hear some persons talk about it, you may want to see reasons with them, but deep down, we feel and we know that blockchain is actually doing amazing things for farmers, but we still hear these questions. So that's why we're having you on the show today, and I would really love your insight about this. So are you opposing this notion or are you supporting this notion?
Sure, Sharon. So I would be opposing this nature. This is a wonderful topic to discuss about. And I have been in the domain of blockchain since the last 5.5-6 years at the minimum. And you know that how the blockchain industry and the blockchain segment domain has evolved over the, especially over the last very few 4 or 5 years, right? 3-4 years, 2016, 17, all the world of ICO, then, you know, a lot of scams and scandals happened and everything went down, a lot of regulation in a country like India. And then again, things started picking up pace. And now we are again seeing, we are so close to so many countries really discussing and really pondering on whether to start something like a central bank digital currency. And India just a couple of days back, decided that yes, they will be, India would be launching a digital rupee very soon, like in this year or next year. So all these things have come a long way, even though in a very short period of time, hardly 3-4 years, but the journey has been emphatic, right? So, but I would be opposing this because let's talk about people like farmers. Let's talk about the domain such as agriculture. We have been in this domain since the last 3 years. What we have done in this, in a nutshell, is we have connected farmers to banks via blockchain technology, via a platform which runs on blockchain technology, where we bring all these stakeholders who are in this particular domain to offer a very simple lending product called the warehouse receipt loan. It, in a one line, the product means that a farmer harvesting his crops can go to a nearby partner warehouse, submit, store his crops, and he would get a warehouse receipt in return, which he can use as a collateral to take loan against it. And that could be used as his personal capital or working capital. Now, this entire segment was there since quite a long time. In fact, this is one of the oldest loan products, lending products available to mankind. But what we did was change the turnaround time for these loans from 15 days to less than 5 minutes. These are real-time loans. Now, And more than 18,000 farmers have been helped till now. More than 250 million INR, Indian rupees, we have done in loans in just the last few months. So it is working pretty well. It is a darling to the farmers as well, because they were not accustomed to anything like this from the comfort of their home. And at the time of COVID, there's nothing more needed than something you get from the comfort of your home, right? Talking about jobs, right? Talking about unemployment. Blockchain technology, why am I opposing this particular notion? Is because blockchain technology has come up as one of the most employment, you know, providing domains. It has, the world of Web3 has been very, very much, you know, providing a lot of opportunities for people of all kinds. Definitely more to developers, definitely more to people in development or in digital marketing or in products and projects and so on. But on the other hand, we are talking about agriculture, right? So there's not just farmers who are involved in agriculture, right? There's a whole domain in agriculture. Implementation of a technology like blockchain makes things efficient. That does not mean that it eradicates jobs. My personal feel is that. Then you would compare blockchain like the computer, right? Yes, definitely. When computers came, it did take away some jobs, but it did create so many more jobs, right? You make sure that you understand these kinds of technologies so that you become more employable. You get make yourself more employable, right? So that is why I'm opposing this notion, Sharon, because blockchain has brought in a world of opportunities for every segment, be it non-agriculture, agriculture. We have been in agriculture since quite some time. We have not seen our solution. For example, a good example to take would be our solution. We have not seen this impact any kind of jobs in the market. The only impact we have seen is making lives better for everyone, farmers, non-farmers, everyone who's involved in this blockchain technology process with us.
Oh, thank you very much for sharing this amazing information. But then again, when we talk about agriculture, really, our minds really go to smallholder farmers, because I mean, we both know that they are major contributors to the agricultural sector. And in terms of taking the product to the market, that's where the middlemen come into the picture. But then again, these middlemen, they are the ones that help farmers most times to get their product out there and get commissions for it, of course. So, what can you say about these middlemen, these third parties that helps in the distribution chain? I know farmers are losing a lot of money, getting involved with middlemen and all of that, but at the same time, don't you think the middlemen would also be losing out on their jobs? I mean, let's look at it from the rural area point of view. So what can you say about it?
Perfect. Now that's one, you know, good question I would love to answer. See, this is called disintermediation. You are right, Sharon, talking about intermediaries. They did get some opportunities lowered from their, you know, taken away from their basket. But the point is that this is called, see, one's loss is another man's profit, right? We are basically in this case particularly. So what we are doing, for example, in any kind of a similar products which is trying to innovate in the domain of agriculture with a product, with a technology product, especially one like blockchain or not, right? Even non-blockchain products, this is called disintermediation. It's an important factor in making sure that an entire segment moves much more in a smoother fashion as compared to be paying more for borrowing, paying more for lending, you know, getting into the nitty-gritty of spending a lot more in terms of turnaround time. The reason why this goes away is because the blockchain handles it all. Yes, from one's perspective, they might be losing some opportunities. But on the other hand, the farmers are way better off as they were before. Everything can be handled with the platform on the blockchain, and the farmers don't even need to take help from such intermediaries. The banks are able to provide the services directly to the farmers. Now, here is what I was also sharing in my earlier answer, that such technological advancements call for changes, right? Call for change, and that's when the intermediaries have to look for better services that they can provide. And there is surely not a short of services that can be provided in the agricultural market. It's just that why farmers were dependent on intermediaries, that has to go away. That does not mean that the intermediaries are jobless. Yes, lack of opportunities for sure, but then that's the idea behind any technological advancement, so that you make sure that the process runs smoother. currently you get a credit card sitting from your home. Doesn't that mean that you are kind of snatching opportunities from people who used to go door to door to give you, sell you credit cards, right? But that doesn't mean that, you know, they are jobless, right? They have better roles right now. They have better involvement in the society because their mundane tasks are replaced by something like technology. Similarly, for blockchain, we have made disintermediation reality now, right? The borrowing for farmers has become low cost. The lending for banks has become low cost. The turnaround time has become from 15 days to less than a few minutes. And it does not parallelly mean that the intermediaries have lost jobs. Their just roles have changed. That's what I believe, right? But yeah, it has made the process phenomenally smoother. So everyone has a place here in the world of blockchain or in the world of technology, as you know. It's just when you can change yourself and what you can find, how you can add more value to the network and to the domain. That would be my take.
The survivors of today's fast-changing agriculture environment are only those who can manage change. At RMG Ghana, we understand that changing for the better usually requires various intervention. As a company that believes in farmers' need to grow and become better, we are willing to stand shoulder to shoulder with them in their quest. Getting help from a partner that understands your need is not always easy, but at RMG Ghana, there is always a way. At RMG Ghana Limited, we have a variety of agricultural inputs, seeds, farming equipment, irrigation support systems, and services in our portfolio to suit every farmer. We also have finished products such as cotton, maize, and rice. We have a milling capacity of 3 MT per hour, 22 hours per day, for production of our Copa Jasmine rice brand. The cotton is refined by our ginry and exported for sales. For inquiries about our products and services, visit our office on number 14 Naku Ipan Road near Nayo Clinic, Airport Residential Area, or visit our website on www.rmgconcept.com or call us on 02-4956-1552 at RMG Ghana. If it makes business sense, we will do it. RMG Ghana Limited, agriculture on sustainable basis. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for sharing that. I agree with you, actually. Things are evolving and you need to identify the areas you can provide value because it is what you can bring to the table that really changes a lot for you. So even as an intermediary that is involved in the distribution chain, you should be able to move alongside the technology trends. I think that way you'll be able to provide value for yourself as well. So thank you very much for really clearing this up. I'm sure this has actually answered questions of many, many, many persons. Some may not actually know how to create value for themselves, but I think you've made it clearer for them to actually see ways they can actually provide value for themselves as well. So thank you very much. But then again, I want to look at this in another perspective. You know, for every business, agriculture is a business, and for you to develop a business strategy, you need to see that there are action plans to enable you to compete in the global market. So, and I've been hearing so much about the decentralized finance. And I was thinking, how do you think farmers can incorporate DeFi into their business strategies? I mean, will incorporating DeFi protect their farm operations from lost revenue? I mean, what is your old concept about decentralized finance, and how do you think it can help farmers?
Perfect. Lovely question. It's a question that is so dear to me at this moment because we are avidly working in the field of decentralized finance. Decentralized finance, for the listeners here, is one of the next big things that is happening in blockchain technology. And with the use of definitely blockchain, cryptocurrencies, NFTs, DAOs, everything in place. So decentralized finance essentially means that you are stopping You're stopping to put trust in the hands of a centralized entity like possibly a bank or any other such entity which governs your finances, and you're putting that trust in a global pool of lenders. So now the same opportunities, financial products that you could use in your, say for example, in your geography, in your demographics, from a financial institution, now you are basically able to access the same kind of product with much better yields from anywhere in the world, right? You are someone in the, say for example, you are someone in Estonia and I am someone in India. I have created a platform, a pool, where basically you from Estonia can lend your currency. It can be any stable coin, it can be any other cryptocurrency, and in return you can enjoy much better yields than you may have gotten in a bank in your country. On the other hand, a very important fact here is that 99% of the decentralized finance industry right now is cryptocurrency based, and what cryptocurrency drags with it is volatility. Now practically speaking, the real world assets are the ones where most of the lending happen. In the entire world, you'll see more than $4 trillion worth of lending that happens against real world assets. So that's the main thing. Tell me, Sharon, what do you take if you want to borrow some money? The first things that you would want to borrow money against at this moment might be your house, might be some gold you own, might be, if you're a farmer, in the domain of agriculture, if you're a farmer, you may have, say, a harvest that you just did last season, and that you may have to take loan against. Now that's what we want to do in decentralized finance. So that's why we are one of the pioneering such products. The brand is called Brew Finance. So Brew actually in Icelandic language means bridge. So why did we keep this name? Is because we are bridging the centralized finance, which happens, the traditional finance, centralized finance, as you know, we are bridging it with decentralized finance. And for the first time, we're bringing real world assets such as agricultural commodities, gold loans, securities, mortgages, then exotic assets like art, wine, etc. All of these things as a gamut, we are bringing to decentralized finance, which does not exist in a huge fashion right now in DeFi. It is definitely a challenging situation, but for us, being one of the pioneers in this is very, very easy because we have been running a centralized finance platform since the last 3 years and we've become one of India's largest. Now we already have these assets on chain. Connecting them to bridging them to DeFi makes sense for us. What does that give to the farmers? The farmers get many possibilities, many more opportunities to get loans at much better rates than maybe what they were getting originally. So that's why they would be able to connect with lenders from anywhere in the world via the Brew Finance pool, and that opens up a lot of opportunities for them. And for lenders, on the other hand, this brings in a lot of stable opportunities because these real world assets are not volatile in nature just like cryptocurrencies. These are real world assets with very stable prices, right? So that's why it makes a lot more sense for the lenders as well. And on that note, for your listeners who may not be knowing much about decentralized finance, it is, guys, the next big thing. And for your benefit, we are also hosting a kind of a workshop where just on Saturday at 4 p.m. IST, which is like 5.5 hours ahead of GMT. So at 4 p.m. IST on 5th of February, Saturday, we are hosting a specially introduction to DeFi kind of a workshop called Deep Dive in DeFi, right? DeFi Deep Dive, where we explore all these questions, just like you're asking, Sharon. We explore everything like this. We start from the very basics of DeFi. How can someone like you, me, get into the world of DeFi? How does this benefit a lot of segments and so on? These are a few of the primary questions that are going to be answered that day. So I believe, Sharon, that would be my answer to your question. It's an amazing world of possibilities for someone like a farmer to connect sitting in India to a lender from anywhere else in a very open and bankless fashion. That's the key word, bankless. It's all about bankless finance.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I appreciate your comments on this question. It was more like my conversation or a question I had to answer during Voices of Blockchain last week, and I thought, okay, maybe I could put this out to you. I brought my question to you, but really, I thought yes, this is just the way to get brother. Explanation about this, and I think you've just done really good. And of course, it's really amazing that you're putting out information about this particular I wasn't really so clear on the decentralized finance and how it's really going to be the future of the finance. But with my experience and conversations with different experts in blockchain and agriculture, it's really clear that blockchain has so much in store for farmers and they really need to embrace it. But I guess they really can't embrace what they don't know about. And that's the reason why we need to create more awareness. And the fact that you're hosting a workshop to put information out there about decentralized finance and how it helps farmers, it's really commendable. And I really want to say thank you on behalf of the audience and those that are really looking forward to this as well. So thank you very much for creating awareness, for pushing out knowledge about this and how farmers can really connect and also grow their businesses as well. Thank you very much once again, and again, thank you for joining the show. I really appreciate you here.
Thank you, Sharon. Thanks a lot. It has been a pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you very much. So you said the show, the workshop is on Saturday on the 5th of February.
Correct. 4 p.m. IST, which is like 5.5 hours ahead of GMT.
Okay, so is there a way for participants to register for this workshop?
Yes, we are having this. We are holding this live in our Discord channel. That's where the entire community is. So if anyone wants to get into decentralized finance, I think Discord is something that you should own, right? Be on it whole day. So yeah, we are having it live on our Discord channel, the link of which we shall be providing, shall we?
Okay. So Discord, I don't know. Okay. When we are publishing, we are definitely going to put out the link so people can register and be a part of this amazing workshop. Thank you very much once again. I really do appreciate your time and I really appreciate you coming on the show to share your knowledge and experience. Thank you very much.
And thank you, Sharon.
To everything you're doing in the company. Thank you very much once again.
Sure. Looking forward to working with you again in future, Sharon. It has been always a pleasure to be in touch.
Of course. Thank you very much. So guys, we have come to the end of today's episode. I really hope that you enjoyed this episode and learned a lot from this. So get ready for another episode by next week. I love you guys and I appreciate you. Thank you very much. See you again next week to have a lovely time. And don't forget, it's your host, Sharon Idahosa. Have a lovely time. Bye-bye.